I am an engineer by background, but this was a terrible mistake in my life. I didn't know what else to do, so I did that. But I've done pretty well in Airbus. I've done plenty of flight testing and all kinds of cool stuff. But after 13 years of working, I realized it was mostly bullshit, especially being a manager in a big company. So I was a project manager spending hundreds of millions of euros, and then I was a team leader looking after people as if they need to be looked after, you know. And at some point I thought, wow, this is a complete waste of my time. The guys don't need me. All I'm doing is writing reports which say one thing to functional management and another thing to project management, just so I can make sure I've got enough money in the system to pay my guys. And it's that ridiculous in a company like Airbus, okay? So that's probably enough.
And so I'm Capucine. We were working together as employee in Airbus. I left Airbus recently, and now I'm helping another company to build a movement. And the company is called ENGIE. It's an energy company. And just in case, so we are talking about large companies. And just so you know, there is no framework that we are going to talk. We have only our own experience. We have no clue about what is integral approach. What we did it because we believed it was making sense for the people. We built it with the people in the companies. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, and don't be afraid. Huh? Yeah, and it doesn't mean that you have to stay the whole session. Huh? Don't worry. The 2 feet rule applies here. You can leave whenever you want. Yeah. So it's not about theory, it's about what we experience, and it's very humble. We did it because we believed in it, and we met people that were believing in that as well. And so all this happened completely spontaneously, and this is this experience that we want to share today. You want to start?
We can start directly with a practice, by the way, because it's all about doing it, really, and not talking about doing it. So I'm just going to tell you where I stand right now. Welcome. Come in. Right at this moment, I'm feeling, well, there's part of me which is very excited because I love to tell this story, and it really is a set of stories. And there's part of me which is absolutely terrified because before I came here to this conference, I kind of was frightened that I'd be faced with a bunch of ideological lunatics who wanted to change the world. And actually, it's not been my experience. It's been fantastic. And I've seen some of the most amazing things I could have possibly imagined here, which is great. You want to share?
Yeah, thank you. I always feel a bit anxious because I'm afraid of speaking in public, even if I do it very often. And I feel as well safe, actually, because I can see a few faces that I met and that are smiling to me, and thank you for that. And I'm as well actually very enthusiastic to share our experience. I realize that what we did it because we believed in it. We had no clue about any theory again. And it was a good feeling. So I'm happy to share real stuff.
And just one point, you don't have to agree with anything we say, okay? That's fine. Because what we did in Airbus and NG may or may not work somewhere else. We don't know. So the point of this is how to start the movement. And by the way, the most important point is without the permission of the boss, okay? In a company with 130,000 people, it's very unlikely, in my opinion, unless you've got a really good guy at the top, you're going to find someone who's going to suddenly wake up one day and say, let's do teal. Okay? It maybe happens. It didn't happen in Airbus. We've got a bunch of fraudulent crooks at the top of the... Oh, I better not say that. Sorry, they've all been cleared by the investigation. It's fine. But...
We never talked about teal organization in the companies. Okay? We always said that it was... to go for more consciousness in the company, for more human relationship in the company. There are plenty of different worlds in France. So you might know Freedom Incorporated, kind of learning, empowering organizations, this kind of world. We used many, many words to define, so it's not defined. So people can choose whatever fit with what they want to do.
Okay, so the point was 130,000 people, extremely unlikely in an organization like Airbus that it's going to come from the top. But there were people like us who thought, we don't give a shit, we're going to try it anyway. Okay, we all read the books, we watched the films, and we thought, wow, let's just give it a shot. And so the first message, the first story is, it can start anywhere in a company. And at the beginning, we used to go on about, oh, it's a bottom-up change. But that's very exclusive, because the top guys and the middle guys are still guys. And it maybe is coming from a middle manager or a head of a function or just a team in the bottom. And the point is to recognize that that can happen. And all we did actually was we allowed them to connect together across social media and start sharing the fact that they were doing it. Right? You want to add something to that?
No, I was this morning in this steel organization track, and I don't remember who somebody said it has to be top down. And it has to be top down. I mean, not that we never fight against this idea, we never fought against the idea of that. It happened that we gather a bunch of people who had the same purpose than us, that ever we innovate, or the company die anyway, so let's try to do something different. And we were very lucky to find each other about this purpose, and then we built something very naturally, that we built some people that had this in common, and then something happened, you know, that we were like 3, 4, 5 people, and then we started to do something, and it was really small things, you know. But just by being ourselves, being courageous to ask the right question, it happened that way. So, and this is the experience we had in Airbus. In NG, it happens that it's really top down. The CEO of the department decided to go for that, really because he got inspired and he got really in his personal transformation, and then it happened. But after 1.5 years, he knows that he can be alone in that. If he doesn't, you know, let go and let room for the others to grow. And it has to happen at the same time. You know, people are taking responsibility and the boss needs to let go at the same time. So it's not top-down or bottom-up. It's an end. And it's very important. I mean, we were dogmatic on that. Like, and now I realize how much it's important to have always an end in mind.
So... yeah, sure.
What was the functional relationship between the people that started it? Were they within a small work group, or were they, what was their relationship?
Okay, so the question is, how did they meet? Because they could be spread all over the place, right?
No, not just how they met, but what was the thing that made them able to do anything together, like functionally?
Absolutely no relationship whatsoever. Well, we met on a training course, for example. It's random. But what made it possible is at the beginning of 2016, there was suddenly a social media platform inside the company, so like a very crude Facebook. And I don't know if the people who put that in place really understood what they were doing, but what they were doing was allowing people to suddenly link to anybody, all 130,000 people, and create communities. Communities on cycling to work, communities on... open office space, communities on, whatever, no constraints, nothing whatsoever. And we put some events in. Well, actually, Capucine hacked a few events.
Yeah, at this time, there was some, I mean, Airbus was struggling to get innovation. So I was asked by engineers to put together an event to kind of inspire the people about innovation. But it happened that, you know, the organization was so complex that actually I was very free in my own area, so I could decide who could speak to 2,000 of people. And I decided to invite somebody called Isaiah Getz, who wrote the book about Freedom Incorporated. And suddenly many employees came to this event, and we realized that there were plenty of seats all around the companies everywhere. And blue worker, blue collar, white collar, everybody was kind of, wow. I felt so disengaged that it's the only way for us to do something for our company and to change things. And this kind of thing, plus the social media, both happened more or less at the same time. These are inspiring speeches, and just like 1 month after, we had the social network opened, and we decided with some engineers to open a community online, and then it happened like this, and then something started.
Brings us to the next point. Because we created this community on this platform, which was called, and still is called, Empowering Organization, which is a bullshit name. Empowering, which just indicates that the uselessness of labels, because it means everything and nothing, you know. But we suddenly had this way to communicate with thousands of people. And actually, the spearhead of this movement was the fact that a few people were courageous enough to start putting on this stuff questions. Do you think we need this? What? Why do we have that? You know, can you imagine something else? And you know, and at some point, this community was the most popular community in the whole of the company. You know, and we made it very socially interactive. So I have to admit something to you now, guys. I like a lot of things on this community that I never even read, because it was about making it that feeling of interactivity. But people then were phoning all the time and saying, "Well, how do you do it? What do you do?" And that's how it kind of started. But the point was, of all of this, free speech. Some people needed to step up and take the courage to ask the things that couldn't be asked. Okay, you want to add something?
Yeah, and this is where I started something like. Would you like to have a common purpose? Would you like to have a vision together instead of having something coming from the top to the down of the organization? And there was some momentum around this kind of discussion, and we raised a lot of interest inside the company through that. And it's this as well raised interest from the management itself as well to see, oh, what is that? What is going on? You know.
Not to begin with, they are now. Yeah. And that brings us full circle to the point about the boss needs to be involved. I guess sooner or later, they need to pick it up, you know? But it's very interesting. We've seen in Airbus, there's a kind of general growth of the management getting involved. And they still think they've got some kind of control, but they don't actually. And they're just starting to learn that now. So now they're starting to switch into, we need to work with this, otherwise we're going to have even less control. But the funny thing is, sometimes you get a team or a function who've gone quite far in all of this, and then a new manager, if it still exists, comes in. Fully open. Don't give a shit. Anyone can join. Yeah. No, anyone can join. Yeah. Yeah, no. Fully open. Everything open. Everything open source. Share everything. Sure, sure, yeah.
Do you find that management was saying no or being like, I don't like these ideas until they saw a swell of movement in the company?
Yes, it can happen. I mean, you can have, what I was about to say is you can have everything happen. You can have this kind of situation. You can have, because they rotate people a lot in companies like this, you might get an open-minded boss of 500 people who disappears for whatever reason, and somebody else comes in because they're not yet ready to let that position just evaporate, who starts to say, don't do this. But then people are like, well, what do you mean? What is it that you don't want us to do? And maybe they can point to one or two things specifically, but the whole culture has shifted to such a point that you can't grasp it, actually. So you can't really turn it back. Although there are some examples of things going backwards, because what we understood is, sorry if I'm hogging. Yeah, it's important. I just learned the other day of a team who went quite far, and then the boss left and they got another person in. And half of the team has left that particular team, and the other half have gone back. Because what we understood was that the half that stayed hadn't really integrated really the personal practices and the interrelational practices and so on, which are the bedrock of all of this. So they were happy to just go back. And you know what? That's fine. If that's what they want, that's absolutely fine. You know? It's a point. well, they kind of go elsewhere into the organization. But this is also fine because it spreads it everywhere else, you know?
This goes actually with the third point, which is unlabel and unlearn. I mean, we, in all we did, and even in NG where I am now, we try not to have any label, so people can understand that it's about as well unlearning their own habits, their to unlearn their automatic pilot. How do you manage? How do you do this kind of thing? And so, and it's your choice at the end. You don't have to go all till together. You see what I mean? In some teams, as soon as people are conscious, they can choose. You know, in some companies, not all the company will go till in the same movement. Some people will stay in the red or orange or whatever the color is, because if they are conscious that it fits with them, that's okay. Well, we don't push for everybody to be the same at the same time and to do the same things the same way. If people are conscious, that's okay that they work the way that fits with them. I hope I'm making myself clear. We never pushed for everybody to change, but we push for consciousness of the choice that people are making. Okay? We stopped being dogmatic, like everybody needs to go there. We said, we give you the space, the time, to get conscious about how you do things, why are you doing that this way, but then it's your choice. And this is what really matters for us, at least.
Which brings us very nicely to the next point. Keep it simple, give it a shot, and iterate. So there was a point, I would say 1.5 years ago, where I was a kind of dogmatist. I was like, we have to do this, and that's the way it should be. And I understood it's a real turnoff for some people, because as soon as I put funky drawings on the page and all these arrows going everywhere, engineers, of course, they go, that will never work here. Because we've got regulations, all this kind of rubbish, you know. So actually, when we work with a team now, we don't show a single slide. Actually, I have one slide. It lists teal, holacracy, sociocracy, and I say, you can throw all that in the bin for now, just forget about it. And actually, there's a second slide which just shows define, test, learn, which is nothing new, you know, it's old. And then we just do open space technology for a day or 2 days, depending on how much the team are willing to invest. And what happens then is we say, you know, guys, what's meaningful for you? Is it the color of the carpet? Is it who gets what bonus? Is it maybe the boss has left? Do you want to replace him? And they decide the questions which are important for them. And then what they do is they start working on proposing solutions, and step by step we feed in very simple things. How is the quality of your listening? Can you repeat what the last guy said? Are you able to make a decision by consensus, by objection? And so we feed it slowly rather than overloading them with all kinds of concepts at the beginning. And basically what happens is the first day is a real energy rush. And what we're trying to do with people is that they are doing things that they can do the next day. So it's like, okay, we're not talking about 1 year, we're talking about tomorrow. What can you do differently tomorrow? And they come up with the things that they can do and they're interested in. And then all we ask is that if they're interested to go further, let's do it again in 6 weeks, and again in 6 weeks. And after 3 months, they're fully autonomous and they're in a continuously improving system. And of course, they're all interested in it, so they read the books themselves, and then we don't need to get involved anymore.
Thank you. But there is no one process for us. There is a process that the team choose. And then we can bring exactly what Max was saying. We throw all the methodology first, and then if people need inspiration, we give them some insights. But it's an invitation. No one has to go for holacracy if they don't want to. And even in big organization, in NG there is a team of 600 people, they went for holacracy, but they choose their own way. It's their own choice. So it's not an individual, it's really the team. And it went small step by small step. You know, there was a team of 5 and then a team of 10. And then, but if the team of the second team would have choose something else, they would have go for it, you know, because they agree individually as well that they can test something for themselves. What makes you comfortable right now or tomorrow? Are you still comfortable with the way you do it? And they are always iterating, even on their personal and team testing. You see? Do I answer your question like this? Yeah?
Go first. Sorry. It's very simple. Who's they? You keep saying they. So did you work with teams who applied through this platform, or, you know, who?
So it's an easy question. We worked at different level. At Airbus, we work with everybody who wanted to have some information. We inspire, and then we were supporting teams that wanted to go. So teams from 2,000 people to 5 person, depending, and we supported them all along the way.
Yeah, and when we say we, just to answer the other half of the question, it's not me and Capucine, it's whoever wants to do it with whatever method they want. And we just allowed anybody, I mean, when I say we allowed, we didn't have any authority to allow anything. We just told people they could do it. And they did it, you know. And all we ask as well is that people share their experience. So for sure, people fuck it up. They make mistakes, you know. But then the important thing is to share that stuff so that the other people can. And one very important lesson from this: it doesn't matter how much we try to capture the knowledge and write it in beautiful wiki pages and all that stuff. Someone over here will never read it. They have to make their own shit, you know. So there's only so much we can expect to do by sharing, you know. We should try it as a philosophy, but let it go. I'm conscious of the time, and I do want to have some questions at the end. Empathy, self-empathy. How to answer this? It seems obvious from a rational point of view that this is a fundamental part of this. For me, it was a very, very tough journey to get to this point because, of course, I had all kinds of judgmental stuff, like, oh, these bloody middle managers, you know, assholes, or the bosses, you know, all this stuff, because I was kind of coming from this revolutionary position. But over time and pain and suffering on my own side, I realized that, you know, everybody's just doing the best that they can. They don't know any better. So if I can welcome that person, even if he's doing something, which his strategy is something I think is ridiculous, there's another way, which is just to be welcoming. And actually, the only important thing we say, the only important skill for this whole transformation is, number one, listening, and number two, forgiveness. Voilà. And perhaps the last point, not just perhaps, intent. Why, if any of you are involved in the transformation of a group or a company. Yeah, yeah. What is your personal intent in all of this? Is it to help yourself? Is it to help others? Is it to change the world? I'm not saying there's any right answer. I'm just saying, be very clear about this. And the story behind is, I made an action along with Capucine last year to do something which I convinced myself was good for the company, but actually it was good for me. And because of this lack of intent, it got into a real mess and we caused some disturbance in the company. So the outcome from all of that is to stop, as all these great guys have said, stop and think, what is the intent behind? Something else to add? Or should we do, we've got 8 minutes left. I mean, how are we doing for timing? Okay. What I propose is we hand out some pieces of paper to you guys, and if we had another half an hour, we could basically, or 20 minutes, we could basically go through the questions. So keep them folded. We'll do the best we can. Okay, so pass them around. Yeah.
Can I ask Gareth,
Exactly. Okay, this, interestingly, this is always a question which comes up from people who start the journey. They say, yeah, but you know, what if we go all the way and everyone else is still the mafia? And the answer's very simple. If the others need to relate to you like this, so that they imagine that you have a boss, because it makes them comfortable, do it. You know, it's like if you have a fully teal company, you still, by law, have to have a CEO that signs off certain papers in most countries. Have it. But how they live inside the team can be whatever you want, you see? So you can still play the game with other people, depending on what their needs are. But what we discovered is that once one team, imagine you've got four teams of 20 people in a domain. If one team starts doing it, suddenly these other guys are like, what's going on here? And they'll want to start doing it. And maybe three out of the four teams do something. And the fourth, they say, we don't want that. And we say, fine. But they find a way to make it work, you know, because it's open. It's basically everything open. No rules, except what they define for themselves.
Vowel change. Yeah, I mean, it's not a nice one, but I think it makes things clear. We worked on really making a viral change, and we had absolutely no knowledge, no theory, etc. But we understood that as soon as we were coming back to a very simple question to employees that were completely disengaged, really, but you know, like, what makes you alive at work? What makes you really alive? What makes you smile at work? You know, and when the people, you know, at the beginning, they just kind of, well, you know, I do that for a living. And you say, can you imagine to have fun? Can you imagine to be fulfilled at work? And then, you know, even the very red person is coming back to you 2 to 3 months afterwards and is asking, but how can I start something? You know, I never saw one person that we talked to that didn't finally try something even after 2 years. So
just to finish, if we did have time, what we would have done was, if you open it up, there's a very simple explanation of what we call listening with resonance. So this is nothing new. We didn't invent that, like nothing else. And basically, we just try to educate people with very simple stuff like that and then say, why don't you try it? And what we would have done now is given you groups of two, and you could have spent 2 or 3 minutes asking the exploration questions below for yourself in silence. And then you would find any partner and go off and have a discussion, and you would listen one at a time to the complete story without interruption. And that's the kind of simple practice that we do a lot at Airbus, just to get people into actually understanding each other. And we ask them questions like, what did you dream of as a child? You know, when was the last time you cried? And and it's really powerful. It's so simple, but really powerful. Okay. So feel free to answer those questions between you later. Unfortunately, we don't have time now. Thank you. It's a pleasure. And just to finish, by no means is Airbus a teal company. No way. But there are, out of 130,000 people, there are now tens of thousands of people engaged in this kind of thing across the board. Where it goes, we don't know. Okay, but it's a continuous improvement, so we'll see what happens.